FM, 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com, sitting here with Michael Goudeau. How you doing, Michael?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Except that I am in Los Angeles, and Michael Goudeau is at my house in Las Vegas. You set off the alarm this morning, right?
Yes, I did, yeah.
And we are waiting. We are waiting for an aristocrat to come in. As you know, we've had Louis Black, Lisa Lampanelli, Howie Mandel, David Brenner, Wendy Liebman, Gilbert Gottfried, Paul Provenza, Bobby Slayton, Carrot Top, Trey Parker, Drew Carey, and very soon, he's in the parking lot, probably stopped off to have sex with the valet Parker, and he is in his way, he's on his way to the studio. It is Bob Saget will be in the house with us right now, and was that him just walk by? No, another guy looking like Bob Saget. So what we're going to do is, to show respect for Bob Saget, we're just going to sit here and do nothing until Bob Saget, you rat bastard, we're already on the goddamn air, and watch your mouth. No FCC and swearing, how do you?
I'm damn good. I'm a rat bastard. I got the proof. I got the papers from my dad. My dad's a rat bastard also.
We've been on the air now for 45 seconds.
I apologize
for being
late.
I've been trying to kill time without you here.
How do you do that? I don't know.
You're like our 15th aristocrat on here, you know.
Oh, man. I'm so honored. You're the best person ever that was as a fellow rat bastard. A rat bastard, by the way, is a person that doesn't know who their parents are.
Right.
Some kind of disease. They're vermin, right?
Yeah.
A rat bastard.
Yeah, a bastard. Rat bastard.
And you can say bastard on the CBS
stations. Sure. I say it like 5 times in a row.
Well, bastard, rat bastard. Rat bastard's pretty funny.
If you want to make it even better, cheese-eating rat bastard.
Well, the cheese stands alone. You don't even need
that
a rat.
What does that mean, the cheese stands alone?
It's when you want to catch a rat bastard, what you usually do is put a lot of money down on the ground and then a little noose around it, and you can catch a rat bastard. But if you put cheese on it and it's alone, it stands alone until the rat bastard grabs for it, and then they get what their comeuppance.
Farmer in the Dell.
Yeah.
I understood every word of that. We'd be playing that as children. I'd be okay with the lyrics.
Hi ho, the Dario.
The cheese stands alone, and I would just go, "Okay, here's where I
hi ho, hi ho." That's what I say to girls when I go past.
Yeah.
And then when they look what I got in my nether regions, they know the cheese stands alone.
And you got the Dario.
The Dario, because you're growing the moss.
I got the Dario growing the moss. Does this look infected to you, by the way?
It does to me.
Okay.
Did you cut it with a can of something, or did you cut it with something sharp? Did you get a paper cut on it?
Yeah, a little paper cut on it.
Yeah, I have a joke. It's actually not that good a joke, but I got a paper cut there because I was turning the pages in the magazine too quickly. That was the joke. You're very courteous. You laugh.
I'm a
fellow aristocrat. I like you too. I've always liked you in the way that only a man obsessed. I write you letters in newspaper copy with all different letters cut out in different sizes.
We have got a question for you that came in on Gmail from one of the fans.
Uh-oh.
Could you please ask Bob Saget what happened to the trailer of the farce of the Penguins? A few weeks ago, some co-workers and I saw it on imdb.com.
Yes.
Then just a few hours later, we went to show it to other co-workers, and we saw a message that said, trailer not available. Can anyone shed light on this? Why was it pulled? When will it return?
Yes.
Shut up. Shut up. As fags, fags, did I say fags?
Yes,
as fans
did.
Of the aristocrats.
Rat vermin. Rat bastard.
As fans of the aristocrats, we love what we saw and laughed pretty hard at Gilbert's line.
Yes.
We're also hoping that somehow Samuel L. Jackson gets to say something about mother loving snakes in his narration. Thanks. This is from Marty in Chicago.
It's funny that you
tell
say
us.
This. Yeah. Okay, then. Can I talk now?
Yeah.
I don't feel like it. We redid the trailer. We had to pull it right away because Christina Applegate joined on board as the female lead. It's all, you know, the mouths don't move in this thing. You were gracious enough to do a voice. It's a stoner movie with penguin mouths that don't move, you know. We didn't have the money of this. There's a big Happy Feet coming out from Warner Brothers, big Surf's Up coming out, and, you know, from Sony or whatever. And we are, you know, Think Film funded it, and it's a nature footage of penguins doing it, you know, going at it like a rat bastard would. And so the mouths don't move. We redid the trailer because we had to. We had to honor our lead female. And so it's coming out in a couple weeks. Sam Jackson just recorded. I mean, he did the trailer copy. He's so gracious. He says there's MF penguins on that MF glacier.
Uh-huh.
So he does do his own send-up of the... of the snakes on a plane.
And how'd you get Samuel L. Jackson to do it?
He read the script And when we were starting, we had Michael Miller's an editor who edited a bunch of Coen Brothers movies, Raising Arizona, and he put together about, we were starting to
That's
edit
a
the
bunch.
Movie.
One is a bunch?
He did the same movie for 14 years.
Okay.
As an exercise. He didn't originally edit it.
Oh, he was doing it over and over again in film school?
He did Blood Simple, since you're making me list his, IMDb, Michael Miller. Did Ghost World, but that's not a Coen Brothers movie. He did Rat Bastard, the first HD movie
the
ever
Pedro
made.
Story.
Yeah, it was about a little teeny, it's hard to get those little legs apart on a mouse. Was it Andrew Dice Clay did the duct tape joke, which is a whole different world, and it's a hamster, I believe. Do there families that listen to this?
No. There's one family. There's a woman.
The aristocrats.
A woman came to my show, about an 18-year-old woman, with her mother, father, and little brother, and her T-shirt said, "Lesbian atheist, Penn thinks I'm hot."
Wow.
So that's a
Which
family.
Which is accurate, am I correct?
In every single way.
Yeah.
And she was great. She was just terrific. And atheist was spelled wrong.
Did you go home with her and have a holiday dinner with nothing on the table? Did you have a gelato turkey?
Gelato turkey. Yeah, we got...
Styrofoam water?
Her parents were with her and said she thought you'd like this shirt.
Wow. Were they hot?
Yes, actually, they put a picture up on this MySpace account, and a lot of people wrote in and said they thought the mom was hot, because they thought there's a better chance she was heterosexual, I suppose.
Well, if you allow your child to do whatever they want to do, that's kind of hot.
Is that what you do as a parent?
Yeah. In fact, I'm dating this girl that I like at the moment. I mean,
you've never done that before, have you?
Actually,
you usually date
a couple
people you hate.
Well, I have. And I was married for
you on
and
more.
I was married and I was in love with my wife, and things changed 9 years ago, and I found a rat in the bed. And that's not true. And it was mine. But this girl I'm dating now is an adorable girl. But my daughter said to me last night, "We like her. Don't screw it up. Don't treat her like you treat us." I'm like, what? What does that mean?
They didn't want you to have sex with her.
I think no, they didn't mean that.
Okay.
They're not totally inane. They're like the parents of the woman that adores you. They just don't. They want me to put a surge protector on. They want me to be sure. I don't mean protection of sexual nature. I mean they want me to make sure I don't over implode with my normal.
How do you screw up a relationship?
I speak my mind, and my mind's not sound. A surge protector means I don't go from 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. You know, I can't do that.
Paul Provenza once said to a woman, and I heard this, the way I heard this was great. I was in Vancouver with a woman that I was living with, and we met up with an ex-girlfriend of Paul Provenza's, and
was she able to walk?
She started complaining about Paul Provenza to us.
Right.
And this is when I fell in love with Paul Provenza. She was telling my girlfriend how bad Paul Provenza was. Every word she said, I went, man, he's a genius. She convinced me to break up with my girlfriend by saying things that Paul Provenza had said that made her hate him. And one of them was, "You are zero maintenance, and that's too much for me."
He needs negative maintenance.
During a fight. Wow. You're zero maintenance, and that's too much for me. Famous Paul Provenza quotes. The other thing he said is, "We're going to a party tonight. It's not like I'm working or anything, but you can't talk to me."
Wow.
And she's saying this.
He's proud of her.
Yeah, saying this in the back seat, and I'm going, and she's going, "Oh, that's awful. That's really terrible." I'm going, "That's the way I should be."
Right.
I'm not living up to what I could be. Paul Provenza. And that's when I fell in love with Paul Provenza.
Yeah.
And the next time, because I'd met him a few times before and didn't care that much.
How long ago did you meet him?
I met him, you know, years and years ago, because he was, you know, almost when I should have met you, you know, around Philadelphia.
I met him. I auditioned for him
in
college. Doesn't get any sadder than that.
Well, now, but the victory of knowing you're doing better than he. Oh, you're doing a Penguin movie, aren't you?
No, but, that trailer, by the way, will be coming out next week. With Sam Jackson's voice on it, and Christina Applegate.
Who'd you bump to put in Christina Applegate?
No one. We couldn't. We offered it to a couple people that said no, because the character gets violated by Lewis Black in The Dark. She's my
Who
girlfriend.
Who hasn't?
Well, that's accurate. And he shakes a lot when he's at the moment of excitement.
Boy, does he shake a lot.
It's a movie of Sam Jackson narrating it. I'll get back to that, and then we're going to get back to Paul Provenza right after this.
Music almost came up.
It's me and Christina Applegate. Thank God you can actually go where my mind selectively goes.
I'm with you.
We're 8-track players growing up. which they now call sampling. But it's Christina Applegate. It's all voiceover. It's me, yeah. Christina Applegate, Louis Black's my best friend, Tracy Morgan's my buddy, and Monique. And then Penn Jillette.
Yes, Penn Jillette's in it. I was so proud to be able to do that for you again.
You're hilarious in it. You're
I like two lines.
No, it's good. It's good.
Because and I'm
you're
like
an evil seal. An evil seal. Maybe was.
I don't even get to be the right species in your movie.
No, you are.
I don't even get the title species role. I'm a different species.
You're an abusive seal. You abuse the penguins. You tell them they can't go that direction. And if you saw the original March of the Penguins, they only go one direction. Then 3 months later, they go the other direction because it's time to eat after they've made it.
Now,
it's very much like Paul Provenza.
Very much. So you auditioned for Paul Provenza.
I did. I did at University of Pennsylvania. I was going to Temple University for film school. And U of P is where my friends were, mm-hmm. where I would do comedy. When The Mask and Wig was out of there, but I wasn't in The Mask and Wig, but Paul was in everything because he was like the stand-up of University of Pennsylvania at the time.
Not a Jew.
He would... what's up with that?
Yeah.
Anyway, so he would perform in his Italian way, and he's Italian, right?
What's that?
From the waist down, he's definitely not a Jew.
he's Italian.
I know that. He's a rat bastard.
The name Provenza, we're going to give you. If the name sounds like cheese, it means Italian.
Or a piece of furniture. a villa. Have you seen my Provenza? That's what he calls it.
Yeah.
So he asked me to perform to see if I could do this all-star review at Penn, and I auditioned. I had a guitar on. It was pretty pathetic.
When I first saw you, we first did a radio show in San Francisco.
Right.
And
was it Alex Bennett?
Might have been. No, yeah. I think it was a different show. I don't think it was Alex Bennett. And you were going to be on, and I, was doing like an off-Broadway show, and I considered myself to be pretty hip. And they were bringing on this TV guy from like whatever show you were on.
Right.
And I was going like, oh, man. And then you got on the air, and you weren't at all like the guy on TV. Because, see, at that time, I wasn't hip enough to know that the people on TV are all lying.
Well,
and then I went to see your show, and you had a guitar around, and it was the dirtiest show I'd ever seen from this sitcom guy.
Right.
And I had the feeling, whenever that was, back in the 80s, that later I would bring to people with the Aristocrats. We thought this guy was our favorite dad.
I am. Which dad do I want to visit me at night? It is weird that I get hit on by people that are my daughter's age, which is wrong because they're four. And my oldest daughter is 19, and she goes to school in New York, and... It's not fun when that happens, really. I don't like to mix church and state. I like them to be separated by at least a curtain. a drywall. It doesn't stay drywall long, you know that.
How have you dated your daughter's friends?
No.
God, that's funny.
No, definitely not. They say it's supposed to be half your age plus seven, but I've been subtracting seven and not carrying the one. So I have, a few problems. I buy a lot of cookies, let me just say that. No, that's terrible. No, I only date people. I have a girlfriend. Pardon me?
How old?
I'm going through the canyon. I've lost you. No, she says that I don't listen to her, and I said, I love the palm. I could go for a steak. She's younger than me.
How old is she?
What?
How old is she?
I could say that on the air?
You don't have to.
She's.
But we're not going to say anything else until you do.
She's in double digits.
Okay, good.
She's. I shouldn't say her age.
Sure, you can say her age.
Yeah, of course I can. It'll be tabloid fodder. She's what? It's not fair to her. I don't think she'll like that her age becomes such an important thing.
No one cares about you, Bob.
She's 26.
26. And how old are you?
What?
How old are you?
Really hard to hear you right now.
How old are you?
I'm actually 50.
You're 50?
No,
I'm older than you. I'm 51.
In the city. Thank God.
51.
I'm 50 in the city and 26 on the
highway?
In the moving car. No, that's not good. People don't like that separation. I'm fine with it. Which is why it was so easy for me to say it to you.
Yeah,
it's personal. I don't usually talk about my personal life.
Well, that's all we're going to talk about now.
All right.
We're not going to talk about your stupid penguin movie.
Okay, let's go into girth. We're going to do it.
Sure. And right. we are going to do it. We've been close for years.
I was performing in New Jersey. I did that tour. You know that tour? There's a tour. There's a thing. You know that?
No.
I won't even bring it up. You won't like it. But it's the Opie and Anthony tour.
Oh, yeah, sure.
They're really lovers of comedy. So it's Tracy Morgan and myself and Carlos Mencia did last week in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this whole theory that New Jersey has had a bum rap for many years
because
they're between Philly and they're between New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that New Jersey, a lot of people think it's the taint
of
those two states.
Sure, of course. My wife's laughing. You're okay. Right. She's following you.
How are you?
By the way, 40.
So you're saying what?
She's 40.
Oh,
my wife.
That's great.
I just wanted you to know. Just wanted you to know that I could answer the same question. I'm 52. 51? How old am I? 51.
Yeah, but this girl's like the smartest girl that I've dated.
Well, that's like saying that, you know, the shortest basketball player, isn't it?
No. They're not, like, hospitalized. they don't sit there in a room, like, medicated, dribbling.
I'm not talking about the start. I'm talking about the end.
Oh.
After.
Hey, it's going to be great when I'm 80.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's got to wipe me.
Exactly. Might as well be her.
Well, she's got small hands.
So talk about your Penguin movie. What's
so it's
that?
Farce of the Penguins. Comes out as soon as we figure out what the hell we're doing with it, which is soon enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still working on it. I'm still finishing it. It's taking me 9 months of my life.
And is it, this is the hardest movie you've done? Because you've done a lot.
Well, I've done... actually, they're all hard. You know, even when they're easy, even a TV movie is... Mm-hmm. I did a TV movie years ago about my sister passing away from scleroderma,
mm-hmm.
which it's called For Hope. And that thing was probably the hardest thing I ever did, just emotionally, because I revisited my life and her life and what she went through and how she suffered with this disease. And so I've tried to put a lot of scleroderma into the Penguin movie. You know, because they don't move that well either.
No.
And that's a horrible thing to say. But the Penguin movie is made out of nothing. I mean, it's made out of stock footage. So it's very hard to... We didn't shoot a frame of film. So with 200 hours of stock footage, of which you are... And so many people did favors for me voice-wise, as Carlos Mencia and Dane Cook and Whoopi Goldberg and Harvey Fierstein and Norm MacDonald. All these people, yourself included, Penn, did like, you know...
I didn't get to be a penguin, though. I had to be a
50 people. Well, there's other people that aren't... Harvey Fierstein's a panda bear.
Okay.
Who curses at Sam Jackson, mm-hmm. and is very angry. And Gilbert is a penguin, yelling. He's freezing his nads off, and yeah. Sam yells back at him, and they have a lot of effing dialogue.
Oh, you can say FCC.
They're angry.
FCC in dialogue.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
I meant firecracking.
And what's it going to be rated?
It will be R. It is not NC-17 because I've recut it. I did some CGI.
Why'd you have to recut out of the...
Well, I took Tracy Morgan's character, uh-huh. and I had given him an anatomically correct computer-generated... unit.
Yeah.
And it was truly offensive. And even I laughed, but it was, you would have loved it. And it will be on the DVD extras. It will be on the DVD extras because we paid for it. I mean, it's a few grand to do that, to source one of those out.
Now, Trey,
you know what I mean?
Trey and Matt had to cut puppet sex.
Yeah.
Out of.
But they went and put it back in. And I'm watching Team America with my youngest daughter, not knowing that it is the uncut DVD.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, the puppets are going at it. And then they go at it to the next level.
Uh-huh, they get aristocratic.
We get aristocratic. And my daughter goes, what? They're just puppets. And I'm like, your rationalization does not work for me.
You know, how old is your youngest daughter?
48. My youngest daughter is 13, and she is... All my daughters are pretty amazing,
mm-hmm.
and pretty brilliant.
You have three daughters, right?
Yeah, and they like my girlfriend, by the way.
They do?
Yeah, which is very nice. I've had other girlfriends.
And they didn't like them?
I've never... and a small pony. I had a Shetland. I dated a Shetland for 2 years. I tried to turn him into a unicorn, but you can't... You know what you have to do in order to... You know, it's really difficult.
You have to move the buds.
You have to turn them around. and that's not right.
No, not at all.
No.
What's next? What are we doing next?
I want to do a porno version of Babe. Like a pig.
Like
you
a
know?
Pig.
You know, that'll do, Babe. Babe's got like a bib on.
You get Dennis Miller to do the voice.
He would, hey, Babe. What's next for me is I just did a show, which some people would call selling out, but I did America's Funniest Home Videos, so you can't really sell out twice. It's a really, I'm excited about it, actually, because there's no script. And they're allowed me, on NBC, they're allowing me to go more adult. They're calling it PG adult, perhaps, depending on the rating. It's a game show, which I've always not wanted to do. But but I like this one. It's done by the people that do Howie Show, Deal or No Deal. There's no briefcases. I'm afraid of briefcases. If you open one in today's day and age, anything can happen.
Sure.
You know, open it up and the head from Seven is in there. I don't want that. But this is called One Versus 100, which is sure game showy sounding. And
sure.
In the Netherlands, it's very popular.
That's good.
People that love ABBA. sure. are big fans of. It's huge. It's like 7 years there. But it's big. It's 100 contestants against one person, and then 100 people behind me, and there's no script. And they let me
What are they trying to accomplish?
They're trying to give them somebody $1 million, or trying not to, really, if they have any brains about them. But they can get that amount of money. And it's basically trivia. If it's like if Millionaire gave the audience the money if the contestant lost.
I see.
Somebody wins, and I get to riff. And be I kind of look at it as a you bet your life kind of thing if I'm lucky.
Well, your life was scripted.
It was scripted. It's the new generation where you don't have to pay producers as writers.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Bob Saget. It's Free FM. It's Penn Jillette. You can call in, but we're not going to take your calls. You can just call in all you want, but who cares?
That's what I think.
Yeah, this is Penn Jillette. We're back with Bob Saget on Free FM, PennRadio.com. Michael Goudeau is actually the person who sits across from me who is on. He's on an ISDN connection. He's not said a word to Bob Saget.
I'm staying out of the way, man.
Okay. Why is that? How are you doing, man?
I don't want him to FCC me.
Did I do anything wrong?
Nothing.
Nothing.
If you just say the word FCC, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You say it out and don't spell it.
I want to just read this Gmail. Hey there, Michael, Penn, and Bob. I have to email since I'm at work and can't call. Bob, I loved you in The Aristocrats. I'd heard you were a filthy mouth rat bastard, but seeing really is believing. I just wanted to let you know that you were my first celebrity sighting in Hollywood. I live in Minnesota, and the first time I was ever in California was about 4 years ago. There was a group of us on the Paramount lot and saw you walk into the commissary. I said, hey, there's Bob Saget, but my husband didn't see you. He didn't believe me, and we couldn't go in for me to prove it because we were on a schedule and had to get to A.C. Lyle's office.
She knew where I was going?
Yeah. And friends asked if I'd seen anyone famous. I got to say that I saw Bob Saget. Oh. See the joy you bring?
That's so sweet. I actually remember. I hope her husband's not listening. We did more than that. I had ordered the salmon. It wasn't ready yet. Uh-huh. I remember this day exactly before I went to Lyle's office. And she and I met. We met in the back office.
Uh-huh.
And I remember.
You had your way?
I had my way.
And her way?
She had her way.
And Bukowski's
way. She had it her way. She held my pickle and lettuce. That's a restaurant slogan, isn't it?
Yeah. I think hold the pickle.
That was very sweet of her, by the way. You're a tall man, by the way.
There's more.
Oh, God, I want to hear it.
Also, Bob, I want to thank you for everything you do for scleroderma research. That disease where I lost my grandmother to 10 years ago.
Man.
And no one in the family had ever heard of it before that. So I think she's saying that you learn about it faster if someone in your family has it, but your movie is second best to that.
That's probably that's so upsetting. First thing, I feel bad that I said I had my way with her. I did not notice
that I paused so you could do that.
Can I give a, might as well give the plug for my foundation.
Please do.
I'm on the board of for many years of the Scleroderma Research Foundation, which is scleroderma, which is hard to spell, sclero meaning hardened, and skin is derma, so it's scleroderma research.org, and it's 1-800-441-CURE. It's 441-CURE. And what it is a disease that hundreds of thousands of people have. It's as prevalent as, MS, MD, and cystic fibrosis. And but it's doing that TV movie and trying to do as much stand-up. And a lot of people, I'll be hitting you up for it. I'll have you, mm-hmm. you come out and perform sometime, if you would.
Sure.
We did a benefit together for the colon.
Yeah.
At the Beverly Hills
Hotel.
Which
made you very funny backstage.
Well, on stage, I said there's a lot of H's in Hollywood, and they're in the room for real tonight. We're trying to help them. It's very hard to censor myself here, but I do what I can.
You do what you can. You
consonants work. But that was very sweet of that lady, and I'm sorry she lost her her grandmother. All diseases are horrible, but that one hit my family so deeply, and one of my best friends had it, Sharon Monsky.
How can you have two people that have that?
I know a few people with it.
Are you a carrier?
I am, and I'll give it to you in 10 minutes. It's a hardening of the skin.
Let's...
you can't carry it. There are people. I think it's environmental. Sometimes, a lot of people. There's many other research people that say that it's autoimmune, not uh-huh. unlike lupus. And
uh-huh.
but it is autoimmune for some people. But the research we've had done, a lot of it leads to vascular, which is your blood, and it's a combo disease quite often. But Johns Hopkins has a gentleman, Dr. Fred Wigley, who's a brilliant man.
One of my
favorites.
Funny name.
Fred Wiggly is a great name.
Is he someone's uncle? I hope.
Uncle Wiggly.
I hope his sister has
and
a child.
And does he shop at Piggly Wiggly? But he is a fantastic
guy. Is Piggly Wiggly called Piggly Wiggly because there's a Wiggly involved in it? See, I just thought it was rhyming with Piggly.
I think Piggly Wiggly might be a nursery rhyme or something. There might be a Piggly Wiggly.
But it's not like Piggly and Wiggly got together.
I don't think so. And I don't know what cities or states that's even
if my
around.
Name were Piggly and your name were Wiggly, would you team up with me forever?
We'd have to.
Okay.
And I wouldn't speak and it would be everyone's gift.
You want to get back to your hard skin?
Yeah, it just keeps hardening. And it's a horrific, I don't know how you do, you can't really do humor about it, but I do. We did. My sister passed away 12 years ago from it, and it's scleroderma.
You want to be able to say my sister passed away 12 years ago while I'm still laughing.
Let's get back to the Penguin
so
movie.
So people that tune in will just go, did he just say his sister passed away and the big guy, the rat bastard, was laughing? Is that right?
That's what that went? Is right, because I went, Farce of the Penguins is hilarious, and the Scleroderma Research Foundation does all it can. You know, staying on topic would have helped my entire career.
You think so?
I don't know what
you
just said.
I think it would have destroyed it.
Well, thanks to you. Let's change the subject because it'll get sad. Now, I can get misty eyed.
You can get sad and misty eyed. That's okay.
Oh, man.
Because I think that's important.
It's important to have all the different colors.
Absolutely. In your palate.
In your toilet.
Now, how long does it take to kill somebody?
What?
How long does it take to kill
somebody? Well, if you hold a man around the neck and squeeze, you can do it in minutes. If you're strong.
I mean the scleroderma.
Ah. Well, that's a whole different thing. That's one of the defenses of having the disease. You can't. The neck gets so hard, you can't really strangle anyone.
No, yeah.
My sister got. They couldn't even diagnose what it was. She was sick. We didn't know what it was. They thought it was lupus. They thought it was mental. They thought all kinds of things. Within 3 years of being diagnosed, we lost her.
Wow.
And I got involved with the Scleroderma Research Foundation about 3 years before my sister was even sick. Just Sharon Monsky, this great lady who founded the foundation, used Robin Williams to do the first benefit and always wanted to do comedy, which sometimes people do with the disease that they is an easy performer and you can if you can get the comedians. So, and Paul Provenza was one of the first performers, and Belzer and Ellen DeGeneres and Rosie O'Donnell before any of these people, you know, Belzer was established, but the rest of us weren't that well known and at all. And this is about 18 years ago, I guess. And then she just always used comedians. And so now I've kind of, with Karen Zucker, who's on the board, Jeff's wife, wonderful friend of mine, and all these people from San Francisco, Bay Area is where our chairman is located, Luke Evnen and D.M. Wright and all these people. Anyway, we do comedy. We had Ray Romano at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel, and Jon Stewart did it in New York with Katie Couric, did the auction, and Conan helped once. And, you know, a lot of comedians. So I'll be doing the benefits. We try to do every 2 years, try to raise a couple $1 million. It goes right to research.
Is there any headway being made in the research?
Yeah, there really is. They've actually been able to put the disease into whatever you would call remission with some new, brand new experimental meds. And not unlike AIDS, the cocktail of drugs is what helps a lot of people. So that's what I do every evening.
Now, does this...
No, I don't do drugs, by the way, because this is the result of no drugs.
But is scleroderma the disease, or is it related to the disease that people in sideshows would sometimes be?
Well, you know what they even they used
the elephant skin boy and so on.
I don't think the elephant. I think that he fell in his own category because you know what's great about going on the road with him, you don't need to bring a trunk. Yeah, I used to go see those things. I'm sure you did too. Because the carny things. I would go to state fairs and see the guy.
I was just out in Minnesota Tuesday night. I was at a 10-1 show.
There's nothing like it.
It's the best dressing in the world.
It's the craziest thing. A guy can stick a needle through his arm, and he really can't. But he does.
Yeah,
it's like a knitting needle. I mean, he puts it through his arm.
The great thing about, Todd Robbins does sideshow stuff in New York. And the thing that's so wonderful about the real sideshow stuff is there's no trick to it.
No.
It's just terrific. And there was one act that is being done now that I think is terrific. One of the blow-offs, which after you've gone in and you've paid your money and seen the whole show, they offer you an extra thing for another ding. You know, they just say for another buck you can come back here.
Right.
And one of the things that's been popping
up. It's very reasonable, by the way.
Very reasonable. The ding is very reasonable. And you get to, for a dollar donation, you get to staple it anywhere in his body.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? They're starting to do it at some SM clubs, too. You just take a dollar and you can just staple. It has to be. Sometimes they break down the denomination of the bill in where you're going to staple. And since, of course, we no longer have $500 bills in circulation, because that was one way the United States government cut down drug dealing, you can no longer do the eyeball. It's but you know, $100 bill will get you. You know, will get you to get you a little bit of heaven with a staple gun.
What's so funny is Jackass. When you look at that show, it's just nothing compared to this. It's sugar water.
Yeah, sure.
Compared, which is astounding. but they say Lot's wife. That's how far back they. Some people think scleroderma goes. That the turning of her to stone was a. And it's a very old. They track it back. You know,
so your sister died being punished by God?
I thought there's no God according to you.
I didn't think so, but Lot's wife, wasn't she supposedly punished by God? You say that scleroderma, what they're finally trying to find out is, what did these people do to offend God? Is that where the money goes in research?
I'm just talking about the metaphor of the historical
significance.
All I remembered was she turned to stone. I didn't realize what caused her to turn to stone. I think a lot of...
She looked back on Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well... Sodom alone. But a lot of people in relationships do turn to stone.
Exactly.
And it just, you know, if you stop anything that allows the fluidity or elasticity of skin, I think you do harden, metaphorically. And I choose to believe that a lot of things in the Bible, they are metaphoric.
Metaphoric.
That's what I choose.
So what is the metaphor for you're leaving a city of sin and God says don't turn around and you glance and you get turned to stone? What metaphor is that in your life?
Well, honestly, if you are, say you're going to go see 15, 20 years ago Caligula comes out. You're in the theater.
And
you're watching the movie.
And they got the ring.
Malcolm's doing his
the ring, he's the ring, little
it,
dance.
Whatever it is, the two girls with the guy and John Gielgud's going, what
the
am
bathtub,
I doing here?
Sure.
I just wish there were thought bubbles with the other actors in the movie. So... You're offended. You're walking out of the theater.
Wait a minute. You did this in second person. Say
a person was offended.
Okay.
They're watching Caligula on the screen. They get up and go to walk out of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They're walking out of Caligula. As they look back, they get aroused.
Then they turn
They have turned to stone.
Turned to stone
against
slowly.
Their wishes.
Slowly.
Because that's another reason why... They turn to stone. It is forbidden.
We'll be back with Lot's husband right after this. This is Ben Gillette on the Free FM talking about people turning to stone in the good way and the bad way.
Oh, my.
Wake up with Opie and Anthony. Morning 6 to 9 at home with Steve Dahl. Afternoons 2 to 7 on 105.9 WCKG, Chicago's Free FM.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand.
Back in Las Vegas, I'm in Los Angeles, California, PetRadio.com, PetRadioGmail.com, and Bob Saget, one of the aristocrats, funny guy, she stands alone,
Rat Bastard,
she's eating Rat Bastard,
yep.
And I want to read this, because you said during the break that you would talk more about the disease and more about your sister, and as far as I'm concerned, you're funny everywhere. So maybe here we'll take a little bit of time and talk about this seriously and give more stuff about this disease. And this is a letter that I'm not going to be happy reading, but I'm going to read it. Gentlemen, I just happened to listen live instead of downloading your podcast, and I heard the subject. My sister Daphne passed away June 1st of last year from pulmonary fibrosis. I'm kidding it. Due to scleroderma. She was diagnosed in 2001, and she fought so very hard to hold on for a lung transplant. The day she left us, she had decided not to keep fighting and asked to be put in a ventilator and sedated until she died. The time when she was sedated to the time she left us was 12 hours. I was lucky to spend her last 6 months of her life living with her and taking care of her in my home. I miss Daphne, and sometimes I feel as if I failed her since there was nothing I could do to help her. What can I do, especially since, as a teacher, I am basically broke? Why don't you talk a little bit about the foundation and what you're trying to do in terms of research?
Well, ironically, my sister was a teacher also. Both my sisters were teachers. I lost two sisters, one to an aneurysm and one to scleroderma. And my sister Gay, who died of scleroderma, went through the same decay. And at the very end, I actually put this in that, not to be promotional, but it was people know, some people saw this movie, this TV movie called For Hope that starred Dana Delaney. And at the end of my sister's life, she, the end of the movie was like a hospice thing, because that's what we did. We would do Bernie shirt, you know, just like do this strange gallows room, which I put in the TV movie. And my dad and mom, my dad's 89 this week, and my mom's 82, and they've survived the loss of actually four kids. It's crazy. My family's crazy. There's a reason I'm as demented as I am, because it's been a hard life, especially for them. And we all kind of gathered around my sister, and with any disease, with this one, you really do decay quickly. The primary scleroderma symptoms, a lot of times your esophagus will deteriorate. So the flap in your esophagus starts to go, and you can't swallow properly. The mouth gets very taut, skin gets very taut on the face, pulled back, and your fingers start to, your extensions, extremities start to, can split. Some people can live an entire life, by the way. I don't want to freak people out that are listening.
You're doing a fine job.
Well, scleroderma can take your life relatively quickly, like it did my sister, or you can live with it your entire life and live very, very old and healthy and stay warm and use a lot of mittens and socks and all that stuff, because you got to keep your extremities warm. My sister at the end also said she didn't have the lung transplants. They weren't there yet. They took out her gallbladder. She became diabetic. It was literally a puzzle, a house of cards. You know, you move one thing and the next thing goes out, mm-hmm. and then everything you try to fix. And they guinea pigged her a bunch here at the hospital. They you know, she had doctors that were rheumatoid arthritis specialists and rheumatologists, and that's not always the best people to go to, even though they mean well. And some of them don't. Some of them are really, you know, a lot of doctors are just into their ego because mm-hmm. they're playing God. But since there is no God, there are no doctors. I believe there's God, but that's a different. That's a whole different conversation.
I believe there's doctors, so we have.
See what I'm saying? I believe in peanut butter.
Find a place in the middle.
If you put peanut butter on a mousetrap, a rat bastard will show up.
Yeah, but not a cheese-eating rat bastard.
No, because they want the peanut butter.
Sure,
PB.
Put a Cheerio in it because it's more attractive to the mouse.
So hot. That's almost like a life raft. That's like Leo at the end of Titanic. So, don't die on me, Rose. Which brings me back to my sister. So she's laying, and it's not unlike what this email says, and she's saying, help me. This is a day before she passed away. And we're going, okay. And the way my family said help her was to let her go, you know, mm-hmm. to release her, just tell her. And my dad was the hardest one, which is always the case. You know, it's your kid. It's the unthinkable. And so we let her go. And and the next day she passed, and I was in the room with her when she had her last breath, which that is what makes me think that there's something more or whatever, because I don't know. Have you ever been in the room with someone when they die?
Yes.
All right. So you still don't believe in God, whatever. It's something. Something happens, and I don't know what it is.
I think maybe something happens inside you because you loved her so much. Yeah.
I don't know. Nope. There's something. I'm a very sensitive guy.
I don't know. I can tell.
Right.
But they saw you in The Aristocrats.
I am sensitive. I had guilt. I knew that was wrong. I knew it.
You knew it was wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so you are culpable. That's all you really show.
I'm Robert Culpable. I loved I Spy.
Did you?
The original Cosby work on there was phenomenal. I'm not kidding around, by the way. That was like TV groundbreaking. Anyway, so I had another friend, Sharon Monsky, who had scleroderma, who founded the Scleroderma Research Foundation, 1-800-441-CURE. Scleroderma Research.org, Scleroderma.
Is there a song for that?
Yes. See you real soon. Maybe not. Why? Because we liked you. But Sharon Monsky was this woman that founded the thing. And we, when the movie, when the TV movie I made came on TV on ABC, Sharon and I went on all these talk shows. We went on Oprah. So we're in a plane coming back from being on the Oprah show, which was a great experience. Couldn't have been kinder. Oprah was an angel. We get on the plane. We're coming back. And I forgot what airlines we're on, which would have been fun to trash them many years later. This is 10 years ago. And Sharon, we lost Sharon 3 or 4 years ago to scleroderma, ironically, which is the disease she lived with for 20 years. Who knew that would take her out? And she, her disease would go into remission when she had kids. So she had 3 kids, and it was, it's this female hormone in your body that it produced. And a husband, Mark, all dear friends of mine, like family. So we're coming back on the plane, and the flight attendant comes over, and Sharon, they will not serve, the flight attendant will not serve Sharon, because scleroderma is disfiguring. And so her face, maybe, that's all Sharon and I could figure out. And I was putting some powder on some open sores that were on her hands, because mm-hmm. I'm her friend, and she needed to be bandaged, and mm-hmm. it was a powder that kind of kept the bacteria out, because mm-hmm. you lose your digits a lot of times if it goes severe. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of times. I got to be very careful. I don't want people freaking out if they have scleroderma, and it's not in this intense stage. Mm-hmm. So she put the powder on, I bandaged her up, and the flight attendant kept walking past her, and didn't serve me either. And so Sharon's like, I can't. She was just a spitfire. So
How many fingers have to fall off to get a drink around here?
How many fingers am I not holding up? So you could do that in your act if you lose your fingers. So how many knuckles am I holding up? So Sharon gets up and goes over to the flight attendant. Gets up and walks over. She's a frail little thing. And very adorable. You know. And she was also going to be an Olympic skater if you'd seen her before scleroderma. Pre-scleroderma is like just crazy gorgeous, right? Not that she wasn't. To me, she was anyway. So she goes over to the flight attendant and goes, can I help you? Because you really seem to be overtaxed up here. It's just the first class flight attendant, and there are two of them. And she starts, Sharon goes to take napkins to hand them out to people. So she physically goes with her bandaged hands to touch things that go toward people's drinks.
Yeah.
And the phone, no, I'll get it. No, don't worry. She like totally freaked out. And I was like, I can't believe you did that. I mean, I was like fairly almost rude. But this is the woman who, there was a drug that really didn't work. It wasn't a drug. It was more of a placebo called Relaxin that they thought, I think it's still made. I probably shouldn't bash it on the radio. But it was a drug that was made by a pharmaceutical company, and they thought it put the disease into remission. And so Sharon was on it, guinea pigging herself and trying the disease. And then they wanted to discontinue it, the company, because they weren't making any money. They didn't feel like enough people had it. And Sharon went like, they can't discontinue it. I have to have it, because at that time she felt that it was working for her, and it probably was. I don't know nothing, obviously. I'm Bob Saget talking about scleroderma like I'm a doctor. The guy that narrated people getting hit in the nads for years now is giving you, pontificating about something that you shouldn't listen to. So this is my experience, whatever. So Sharon gets on a plane and goes to Chicago to the head of the pharmaceutical company, walks in, it's like a scene from The Fugitive, you know, with Tommy Lee and Harrison, goes in, and Harrison, you know, we talked.
Yeah, sure, first name's all the time.
So Sharon.
Except for Tommy, you would put the middle name in, too.
Tommy Lee. So Sharon, which could be another guy.
Exactly.
That ain't good, because he's going after the one-armed man with his unit, which is frightening. You can steer a boat with it. Are you following this? So Sharon goes to this.
I'm up with you.
Okay, so she goes to the pharmaceutical dude and goes in and says, if you discontinue this drug, I will release it to the press. Because she'd already been in People magazine, yeah. Wall Street Journal. So they gave it to her for the rest of her life. We're going to give it to you for the rest of your life.
Which is always good. How long can that be?
That's correct. That's correct.
That's a safe bet. That's a
safe
bet.
It is a safe bet. If someone's got a couple years, you can figure how many couple years.
Sure.
But actually,
donuts for the rest of your life.
She lived 10 years longer.
Ah.
You know, maybe 8. So they were out.
There's the turn on that.
Probably break
she got
even.
Back in them.
Break even. But she was one of the most amazing people that I will ever meet in my life, as was my sister, which just takes me into my personal story. But back to that problem is someone who has giant income problems, that the email she was mm-hmm. saying that yeah. lost her friend who she loved more than anything.
Actually, it's a he. It's a he that was...
The he?
He lost his sister. Like,
oh,
you
it's
know,
a, oh,
you just
oh,
had the
I
sex wrong.
I
about some two sisters like you like to think about late
can
at
I,
night.
Can,
it was
can
a
I,
brother and sister.
I feel bad about that.
He changed the sex.
He's also lost his gender now.
He lost his sister, and then you gave him a sex change.
First thing, I just wanted to say that my heart goes out to you, sir, if he's listening right now, which he probably is.
Probably. I might have turned it off on the Tommy Lee joke.
I apologize for the Tommy Lee joke and for calling you a woman. But I'm sorry. It's a tragic, horrible thing, and you're helpless. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell them, except I'm just going to keep trying to raise awareness. And you're helping now, even though I'm doing horrible jokes around it. It's not to get the awareness out and let people go on the slurdermaresearch.org page and find out about it.
We're getting music coming up. We're about done, Bob.
I like
Bob Saget.
This is the kind of music that I like to go to the bathroom to.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I'm playing bass.
Do you have a diaper of some kind?
Sure.
Penn, thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
I love you more than I love any farm animal.
Thank you so much. Bob Saget, this is Penn Jillette. Michael Goodall, I believe, didn't say a word. You still there, Michael?
I'm still here.
Okay, goodbye.
See you later.